Praise the Lord, everyone. Sorry for the late start. I was back talking about the Constitution with somebody. So that's the truth. Amen. Come on in, find a seat. We're going to have church. We want to welcome all of our guests. We want you to feel at home here online or here in the house of God. This is a safe place to find the truth. Amen. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Praise God. So we want to welcome you. We encourage you to connect with us. You can do it a number of ways. Online, you can do it in the Bitly link. Connect to CG. You can touch base with one of our ushers or greeters, and they will help you connect online or connect with us digitally. We do have a small gift for you. If you do that, we want to encourage you to come on back and make this your home. We are grateful for what God has done for us, and we believe that He will do it for anyone who seeks Him. In Jesus' name. And if you want to give today, you can give in the offering box that's out on the kiosk. Or you can mail your offering in. The various possibilities are there. You can go to our website and follow the instructions there to give, or give through the church app, Church Center. And that we do almost everything through Church Center as far as communication is concerned. It's a great tool. If you don't have it yet, I encourage you to put it on your phone. All right. Next week is Youth Week. The youth of Calvary Gospel Church will be ministering to our church, and you don't want to miss it. There will be youth events throughout the week. If you're in grades 7 through 12, please connect with Kyle or Alicia. I don't see them, but that doesn't mean anything if I don't see them. Talk to any one of the youth, and they will give you help. Next Saturday, August 26th, is Ladies Adventure Day. From 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock at the north shore of Devil's Lake. If you've never been to Devil's Lake, you missed it. It's a beautiful place. If you have that, if you're one of the ladies, you've never been there, I encourage you to go there. And if you have been there, I'm sure you will want to return because you know what it's like. There's hiking, kayaking, paddle boarding, eating, hanging out, etc. Meet at the church at 9 o'clock, or meet at Devil's Lake at 10 o'clock. That's Saturday, August 26th. There are posters, flyers posted on the doors and in the bathrooms for parking and rental costs. You do have, if you're going to have a vehicle, you have to get a park sticker to stay at the park. You can get it for the day, or you can get it for the season. Amen. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. Oh, one other thing. We still have more of these cloth bags, grocery bags, whatever you want to carry in it, however you want to use it. The reason we're not using them, we did have them to give to people who were new to the family of God, but we have changed all of our branding, and this has the old branding on it, and we don't use them anymore for people who have been baptized. So please, cloth bags, take them, do your grocery shopping with them, carry your automobile parts in them, whatever you need to do. They're there. Take some with you. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. And we gather together here according to your will and your word. And we want to honor you with our worship. We want to hear your voice as you speak to us by your spirit through your word. Please, God, have your way in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh,
deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all.
You're worthy of it all.
In every season,
every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to.
How great
is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me.
How great a beautiful, beautiful presence of the Lord in this place today. Thank you so very much to Brother Seidel, who did a great job in our Bible lesson this morning on the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and to our worship team. And thank you so very much for just being sensitive to the Lord this morning. If you're a guest of ours, it's just an honor to have you here with us today, worshiping at Calvary Gospel Church. So great to have you. You can be seated. This has been a bit of a rough week. And I just wanted to, on behalf of the families, Sister Victoria is here this morning. Brother Ben passed away last Sunday. And his homegoing service celebration will be September 7th at 6 p.m. And all of you are invited to that. There will be a meal in the fellowship hall after. Continue to pray for Sister Victoria, the family, her children, our church in Janesville. And then Saturday morning, we've been praying for Brother James Hawk, who's just been an iconic man in this congregation for many, many, many. Some of you never have been here and have not seen Brother James Hawk. And he passed on to his heavenly reward Saturday morning shortly after 5. And just pray for Sister Audrey and the family. And we'll be meeting with her, Sister Audrey, and probably Elise and such this next week, and we'll have more details for that probably by Wednesday evening. We should have that. So in lieu of this week, as I said, sometimes it's just a struggle to stay focused. We had a great men's camp from what I understood. I've just heard bits and pieces of the men that went, and I want to thank Brother Jerry Simmons. He's our district men's director, for putting together a great camp for our men. Many of our men came back very encouraged, strengthened. I want to try. You're going to help me here this morning. The Lord's going to have to help me. I want to preach a message, and I'd like to just dedicate this. I dedicate a message to a particular individual, but I'd just like to dedicate this message to all of those that are here that have, this past year, we've lost, I believe, Sister Puckett this past year. We've lost Sister Wittenbach. We've lost, it was about a year ago this time, we lost Sister Stephanie Thompson. Before that, it was Brother Jeff Merkus. All of these are all friends of ours. And these families are our family. When I look across this sanctuary, yes, I see individuals, but I see brothers and I see sisters. So this morning, we're going to try just to speak, to talk. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Back in the 60s, this is going to go way back. Some of you probably don't even remember the 60s. Some of you may have been here in the 60s and don't remember the 60s. It was a very, very colorful time, if I could put it that way, in the history of this country. But if you go all the way back into the 60s, songs were often released on a small vinyl record. And people would ask you, if now, I was talking with Brother John Rivas before service, and he went to a garage sale yesterday and bought a box of old vinyl. And we know what you're talking about, that grew up in that era. If people say, do you have that on vinyl? I was at a records or a electronics store a few years back, and I was looking to update some things, and the young guy there that was helping me asked me if I had any old vinyl around. And I'm like, Actually, I have quite a collection of old vinyl, and he was so excited. Some of you would know no idea what I'm talking about there, for you that are 30 and under here today. But a 45, the small vinyl record known as a 45. Anybody know why it was called a 45? Turned 45 revolutions per minute on your turntable. And you had to turn your turntable up to 45 in order. You had 45, 33 and a half, and 16. I never had anything that was 16. I don't know what that would have been, but some record players had that. Most everything was, well, we would just say it was a 33. That was a full-size album. But they had 45s, and the hit song, the A side of a 45 was always the hit song. That was the one everybody wanted. And then, Brother Rico, you know what that's like. On the B side, it was a song that it was kind of, yeah, okay, maybe, maybe not. Everybody wanted the 45 with the A side. And the B side was just typically kind of a filler space on the back side of the record because something had to go on the other side. And that's the interesting thing about most well-known songs of the 60s is there would be a good 45, a good A side, and a not so good B side. And very rarely, if ever, did the B side ever produce any type of a hit until this song came along. The B-side of the 45 became the hit, and it was a hit all across the world, and it was sung by the pop rock, I guess you would call, group The Hollies, and the title of the song was "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." You probably never thought you'd come to church today and hear a song based off of The Hollies, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." But the road is long, with many a winding turn that leads us to who knows where, who knows when. You may be sitting here this morning and perhaps the last week, the last month, the last year, you've been thinking about the road being so long and all the winding turns, and perhaps maybe you have no idea where this road leads to or when you're going to get there. Because you see, the life we all live, we each have our own set of circumstances. I could sit here this morning and we could all swap stories, but the bottom line is I can go home and I don't feel the same emotional pain and stress and struggle that perhaps you feel because I'm not directly living your life. We each have our own roads to travel, and yes, at times it can be long. It can be full of twists and turns, and beyond each bend could be happiness or could be sorrow. It could be disappointment and it could be grief. And immersing yourselves into the lives of others at times can get very difficult. It can be very messy. It can be sad. It can be a struggle. Yet I have found out over the years that helping a brother or helping a sister, helping a friend through a most difficult time can be one of the most fulfilling things that you could ever, ever do. We have to understand that we have trusted one another with everything that is true about us, and we are committed to one another. Most of us here today, someone in this room knows your inner weaknesses as well as knows your outer strengths. Someone in this room has shared your triumph, your greatest triumph, your greatest memories of victory, and others here have been with you throughout your greatest tragedies. You see, as a church, we share the laughter and we share the heartbreak. We have confessed our fears and exposed our shame to the healing power of what I call relationship. All in the light and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You see, we at times, as individuals, as we say, we lay out all of our cards on the table. We have put all of our cards out on the relationship table, and that within itself is oftentimes a scary position to be in. But when you play all of your cards, you must know that you are still loved. And it's one of the most exhilarating and freeing experiences that you could ever imagine when you are vulnerable and you are open and your best friend, your family, embraces you and loves you. So on we go. His welfare is of my concern. No burden is he to bear. We'll get there. But I'm strong. I'm strong. I'm strong enough to carry him. Because he ain't heavy. He's my brother. You see, this is the beauty of the church. This is why the church exists. Even when the burden you are sharing with your brother or your sister is difficult and messy, one should not feel like you've been dumped on. One should feel honored and blessed to share with the load. There have been times where people have come up and said, "Pastor, I hate to dump on you." You have to understand something. A little humor in the midst of this. Before I became a pastor, I was a plumber. I know what it's like to be dumped on in the worst sense of the word. And those of you that are plumbers here know exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, sometimes, yeah, it's a struggle, but it's an honor and a blessing. And we have to understand that your time is coming when perhaps maybe you're not there today, but there's a time coming in your life where you will be grateful that your brothers and your sisters will be there for you, because this is how it should work. Sister Victoria, you ain't heavy, girl. You're my sister. You're my sister. Brother James Hawk, you're not heavy, brother. You're my brother. Christina, you're not heavy. You're my sister. The Carpenter family, you're not heavy. Brother Christopher, you're here this morning. You're not heavy. You're my brother. You see, one of the classic passages in the Bible having to do with human empathy undoubtedly is probably one of the best that you could find anywhere is Jesus. When he was cornered by, if I could say, a holier-than-thou lawyer trying to get him in a particular, a precarious position and confronts him. And we know the story, and we call it the Good Samaritan. It's found in Luke's gospel. And I'm going to reference this today from the Message. And just then, a religious scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. And he says, "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" He answered, "What's written in God's law, how do you interpret it?" He said that you love your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. "Good answer," says Jesus. "Do it and you will live." Looking for a loophole, as most lawyers do, he asked Jesus, "Just how would you define a neighbor?" Then Jesus answers with a parable, a story. And he says there was once a man traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem, and on his way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, they beat him up, went off leaving him half dead. Luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road, but when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite, being a religious man, now understand the crowd, the close-knit people that are standing close to Jesus at this time are more than likely priests, Levites, and scholars. So here Jesus is basically taking his index finger and poking them in the eyeball, insulting them personal and up close. And the Levite religious man showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. But then along comes a Samaritan traveling the road. A Samaritan traveling the road came on him, and when he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. And he had empathy, compassion for the man. Understand something. Those that were listening to this story were identifying the man as being a Jew, because they were Jew. They were identifying, self-identifying. So here, the Jews did not like the Samaritans. They had lots of issues with Samaritans. This had been going on long before Jesus' time. But here you have a Samaritan coming along, giving him first aid, disinfecting and bandaging his wounds. Then he lifted him onto his donkey, led him to an inn, and made him comfortable. And in the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take good care of him. If it costs any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on my way back." Then Jesus asks a question. What do you think? Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? The one who treated him kindly, the religious scholar, responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." You see, we sit here today. I'm just going to be as real as I can be, church. We sit here today, and sometimes when we're not comfortable in the situation, we just kind of avoid it. I don't know what to say. Not for sure. There's a lesson in here for all of us. You see, empathy, the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Empathy is such an important human attribute. I'm not saying sympathy. I'm saying empathy. But sometimes in trying to be empathetic, if we aren't careful, we can say the wrong things, can't we? Just as the lawyer who provoked Jesus by doing and saying the wrong things, asking the wrong things, asking the wrong questions. Some of us may have memories of when we were going through a very difficult time. Perhaps we were suffering some painful or potentially life-threatening illness, and someone who was close to us, or maybe someone who was close to us, has passed on from this life, and maybe we were suffering the breakup of a relationship. And those close to us and trying to be helpful or empathize with us said something that didn't help but really only made us feel worse. And if we were truthful, we would have to admit that at times we've also, as ourselves, have been the source of misguided or unhelpful attempts at empathy. When someone close to us is suffering, we feel that we should say or do something to help make things better. But we just have to understand sometimes, church, that nothing we can say or nothing we can do can change or reverse the course of events that have happened. We all sometimes we want to solve the problem and we want to make everything all right. But in our haste, we blow it in trying to be helpful. So when we look at empathy, what is true empathy? What does it look like? How do we genuinely show empathy to someone? We have to understand first, maybe just what is empathy? Empathy is literally, it's understanding, is seeking to put ourselves in the place of another. We try to feel perhaps what they are feeling and experience what they are experiencing and seeing life or looking at life from their perspective. Years ago, I had one of these religious albums. Again, this is an album Sunday here. It was through the Word Record Club. Some of you may have belonged to that in years past, and you would sign up for it, and every month you would get an album, and if you didn't want it, you'd send it back. Most of us never sent them back because they didn't pay for postage, so we ended up with a whole bunch of albums that we didn't really want, and they had a whole bunch of artists that we didn't like or didn't listen to. I remember getting one, and it was a collection of different groups that were singing. So I think there's average of 5 songs per side, so it's like 10 different songs. And I remember one of those was the Sammy Hill Singers. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to go out and buy a record from the Sammy Hill Singers. Okay, you're thinking right away, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, Appalachian Mountains. No offense, Brother Jerry, Arkansas, the Ozarks. I love the Ozarks. I've been on vacation many times. Has a different flair. The Sammy Hill Singers had a song. The song was actually written by a gentleman named Otis Clay, but the title of it was Walk a Mile in My Shoes. And it was kind of hillbilly. But the word says, if I could be you, if you could be me, for just 1 hour, if we could find a way to get inside each other's mind, walk a mile in my shoes. Before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Sometimes, church, we just need to walk a mile in someone else's shoes. And then we would fully understand sometimes what a brother or a sister is going through or struggling with. If I were in a situation that my brother or sister's in, what would I be thinking, feeling, or experience? What would my immediate needs be? As in the case of the Good Samaritan crossed all of these boundaries. He took all of the social norms of his day and ignored them. He took the ethnicity, perhaps, of his day and ignored them. He saw someone that had an immediate need, and he was compelled to meet that need. As in the case of the Good Samaritan, he crossed all these boundaries. He stooped down. He reached out. He shared their burden, his burden, and so completed Christ's law. There have been times throughout life's travels that you have been the one who has been strong and had the privilege to carry your brother or your sister, but then life takes its toll, and you find yourself perhaps here today. You're tired, you're struggling, you're weakened perhaps by sickness or circumstances, and what you have had to reach out for help and for strength. You see, the miracle of the grace of God is that it never feels heavy to share your brother or sister's burden. This within itself has been a hard lesson for myself to learn, because over the years I've loved to help others, but oftentimes I chose to not bother others when I myself needed the assistance and the help. I didn't want to bother others with my trials and my own troubles, and I know that there are some here today that are in that case. You would rather help someone else than have someone else help you, and you are here and you are in critical, dire need of assistance. In times past, I've denied others the privilege of helping because I've tried to be self-sufficient. I've asked many of you, and I've had other people ask you if you've needed help, and it's, no, we're doing okay, we're doing okay. And I know that you're struggling. You church, see, you understand, church, this is not how God designed the journey to work. The Rico, God didn't design you to walk this road alone. God gave us a helpmate. Those of you that are married, you have a helpmate. Some of you, maybe you've lost your helpmate through death or through divorce, whatever it may be. Maybe you're not to that point in life where you have a helpmate. But God gives us helpmates. God gives us wives. God gives us family. He gives us brothers. He gives us sisters. In times past, oftentimes our pride, hear me, our pride oftentimes short circuits the healing process that God has placed within his church body. You see, it's a long, long road from which there is no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. This morning, I want to encourage as a church to share your journey with your brothers and sisters. I know that some have tried. Maybe perhaps you have tried and you have been wounded. You've tried and sometimes you're ignored. And at times we've all been there, and I encourage you not to give up. For he ain't heavy, he's my brother. I remember talking to one of our members few years back, and I just simply asked the question, how are you doing this morning? And the individual looked at me and says, how do you think I'm doing? I've just lost my spouse. I felt this tall. I didn't know how to react. I went up later, kind of got in line to try to see if I couldn't smooth things out a little bit, and I kind of gave up, and I decided I would call on the phone. So I made a phone call. I said, I didn't mean to offend you this morning, but I only asked because how else am I supposed to know how you're doing? If you're in pain here this morning and you're struggling and someone asks you how are you doing today, they're not asking because they're stupid, and they don't understand, or they're asking because they generally want to know. How else am I supposed to know how you're doing if I can't ask? So empathy, patience. As a story was told, as our musicians can come this morning, we could stand to our feet. Somewhere on the battlefield in the country of Vietnam, a well-known war photo where an American soldier is carrying a Vietnamese man on his shoulders. They were fleeing from the enemy fire, and the soldier was asked by a reporter if he had been carrying the man very far. And the soldier looked at the camera and smiled and said these infamous words, "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." The song goes on, "If I'm laden at all, I'm laden with sadness that everyone's heart isn't filled with the gladness of love one for another." What does Jesus tell us in John chapter 13, 34, and 35? He says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Oh, yes. It can be a long, long road from which there's no return. While we're on the way to there, why not share? And the load, it doesn't weigh me down at all, because he ain't heavy. He's my brother. Let this be our prayer today, church, as we go through the upcoming weeks and the upcoming months. God, grant us the wisdom, and God, grant us the courage to empathize, to understand the pain and the suffering of others, even as I want others to empathize with me. Brother Bronker, you ain't heavy. You're my brother. You're my brother. I want to do something a little different this morning. I would like for, I know Ben and Vicki Vernon aren't here. Brother Ben Vernon has been struggling with his health issues. Sister Vicki Vernon, they've been such a blessing to this church. Not only this church, but to our district all across. I've had superintendents as far away as Australia call me and inquire and ask about the Vernons. They've left their mark all over this globe. For whatever reason, God brought them here. I understand the circumstances and such, but they ended up here. They ended up here, I believe, because God knew where life was going to take them and knew that they would need a place to heal. And God brought them here. Now, they're not here physically this morning. Do we have any family of the Vernons here today? I think they're all getting ready in Vosis. We have the Carpenters. I think you're the only one here this morning, Christopher. I think your mom and dad here. Is John and the Carpenters here? I'm looking, but I don't always see John. Pam, is Pam with you this morning? No. I want you and Christopher to come down. Just come down here on this side. I'm not trying to embarrass. They didn't ask for this, folks. They didn't ask to be put in this situation. They didn't ask for these circumstances. We have the McKnights that are here. Christina, Walter, the kids. I want you guys to come down. Christina's been battling cancer, and she lost all her hair. Had to wear scarves. Her hair's coming back. For all practical purposes, you would look at her this morning and think that everything's fine and that she's perfect health, because you wouldn't know that she's been battling cancer. And she's here today. And her family, her husband, her children, you're not heavy. Brother, you're my brother. You're not heavy. We have the Smiths, and I know Sister Victoria stepped out. I don't know if someone knows where she's at. She went to the bathroom. You come on up here, Brother Isaiah. You'll stand to hold a spot for your mommy when she gets in. It's a long, long road. Losing a husband at 32 years old. Some of you that are here, the Merkuses, Sister Lori, two young men she's trying to raise. We have the Collins, Brother Sam, Sister Kelly. They're probably up at the hospital. I don't know if they're here this morning or not. I know Sister Jessica left and went up, their little baby. Kelly was in one hospital this past week with some pregnancy, post-pregnancy issues. And little baby Jamie's in another hospital, the University Hospital, had open heart surgery. Had an aorta that had a kink in it. They're not here this morning, but Grandma and Grandpa Brown are here. And I'd just like for Grandma and Grandpa Brown to come up here as representation of this family. This is their grandson and great-grandson. Am I correct on that? Are we down to the great-grand? Can you believe that? They're great-grandpa and grandmas. The Brown family's been such a blessing to this church. I just want you to know. Brother Kevin, Sister Linda, you ain't heavy. You're my brother. You're my sister. I don't want to embarrass anyone else tonight. These were just immediate needs, but I know some of you have lost spouses. I would like to invite you down to the front if you would like to come this morning. This isn't just about this group here, but anyone here that is struggling and having a rough time. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you're going through some struggles and you don't know how. There just seems to be no way through this. As our ministers come, I would like to invite all of our ministers this morning. I'd like to invite them down. Victoria, your dad, come on down. I want you to come down here. This is Victoria's father. Lives in Brownsville, Texas. Has a lot of family in Brazil, so they're going to have family coming in. This is the reason why Brother Ben... It's going to take a while for all the family to get together and to get over here for this funeral. They've had an impact. They were much closer in Antigua than they are here. But so we're trying to work all those details. Brother Peter, I know Brother Phil is sick this morning. I want some of our elders, our older, our men, I want some of our men to come down. You may not have a license. If I have to start calling you out, I'll do that. You just came back from men's camp. Some of you men that went to men's camp and were praying with your brothers. Some of you sisters, that Christina's down here. We have Sister Victoria down here. We're going to pray that God would just take and strengthen these families. We have the Wittenbachs, Brother Ron, Sister Jane, Sister Sue just recently passed. And I know Sister Marcus, and she's here, and it's been a few years now. And that's fine. We're still praying for you, but life still goes on, and you still have challenges, and it's difficult. The road is long. It is long, and it's laden with sadness. And let's pray, because we serve an awesome God that comforts. Lord, I pray. Lord, I thank you.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon my brothers.
Over every heart and my sisters. Every mind.
God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for Christ.
I know there is peace within your
presence. Pray for Pam, Lord.
I speak Jesus.
God, I pray, Lord, for her health. God, I pray for Victoria. Zechariah.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus.
God, give her comfort, Lord.
Over every heart and every mind.
I pray, God, for James, the Hawks, for Audrey.
I know
who's not
there
here.
Is peace within your presence.
I pray, God, for
I speak Jesus.
Elise, I pray, God, for the grandchildren. I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, to touch the Hawk family.
I just
want to
speak the name of Jesus.
Praise God. I ask you, Lord God.
Over every heart and every mind.
Praise God.
Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name. Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Want to take and just refocus. Now the Hawks aren't here this morning, and I know that there's not any of their family here. They had stated they would not be here this morning. Let's just pray collectively for Sister Audrey. She shared with me, we were talking with her this past Thursday. She said, I've never been alone before. It's tough. Let's pray for Sister Audrey, for Sister Elise, for the grandkids. So as our worship team begins to sing again, let's just bring the Hawks specifically. Lord, I pray for my brother James. God, he has gone on to his reward. But I pray, Lord, for Sister Audrey, who God is very, very tired.
Shine through the shadows.
The sickness, this cancer has worn her out mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon
your name is healing.
God, I pray for release, God, and all the decisions that have to be made. Pray, God, for the grandchildren, the sons and the daughters.
Shine through the shadows.
I pray, God, for this church, Lord. God, that we would be a blessing, Lord.
Your name is power.
Name is power.
Your name is healing.
Your name is healing.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to do one more thing here, and that is, as you know, sometimes it's real easy for us to just go up to a brother or sister that we know is struggling, and we say, I'm praying for you, Brother Kevin. I know it's just a rough time that you're going through. I just want you to know I'm praying for you and Sister Linda, and I know that they have a dire need, and then I walk away. I'm not taking away from prayer. Prayer is important. We need to pray one for another. But also, sometimes we need to help and assistance in other ways than just with the prayer. Our church here does have a benevolent fund. Most of the time, our benevolent fund is operates in the red, which if we had a lot of money in the benevolent fund, then it wouldn't be good, because whatever we get, we basically distribute. But any of these families that we've mentioned here this morning and you would like to take and maybe help out with the Hawks, which are immediate needs, and Sister Victoria, which is immediate, the McKnights, the Carpenters, Sam and Kelly, struggling, a young couple, and if you would like to help them out financially, you can take and just, you could turn money into the benevolent fund. We are allowed a clause or an exemption that allows us to specifically designate funds for catastrophic events. I don't know what can be more catastrophic than cancer or a death. In such case, all of these would meet that. So if you would like to help them out, and because many of you have called and asked, what can we do, what can we do? You could just make that out to the church, and we'll make sure that it gets to them for you. But we have a lot of folks up here. I just want to take, and as we finish this service out, just want you to, that is a beautiful song, so fitting, so that our praise team continue, and I just want us to just shake hands with a brother, with a sister, if you're a guest of ours. If you have a need this morning, we want to be able to help you. Just let us know. So God bless you. Continue to sing. Spanish service starts at 1 o'clock. And we like to hang around for a while. So God bless you.
Break every song.